Good morning. Good to see everyone here today. Glad you came to be with us in God's house this morning. We're going to get our service started this morning. We want to welcome those listening by radio as well. We're going to start our service this morning as I ask you to stand as we sing "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." We'll sing all three verses. Please join in with us. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Again, we're good to see everybody here this morning. I guess wave and maybe salute those people around you. So good to see everybody today.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. I want to welcome you this morning. And we're talking today about thinking and action. And so those are the thoughts that we'll be preaching about today. And we'll be going back to Philippians chapter 4. So those of you listening by radio, we'll get your Bible ready. And those here, that's where we'll be going, Philippians chapter 4. So it is good to see you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we know that you've given us this day to come and worship you, and we thank you for the privilege that we have of worship. I ask today, God, that we would honor you in our worship time. I pray, Lord, today for all the needs of our congregation and also our community here and this nation and world. There are just so many needs today. But we know that you're a great God. We know that you're in control, and so we just trust you. We pray today that in our worship time that we would be drawn closer to you as we think about these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just a couple of announcements. If you may have noticed on the screen, our next Sunday will be our grab-and-go meals from 5 to 6. Remember that. And before that, this week on Tuesday, Medic has been a blood drive here that will be here in the gym. If you would like to give blood, donate blood, they're going to be here from 12 to 6. So just keep that in mind as well. We're going to sing two hymns, "He Keeps Me Singing" and "Sunshine in My Soul."
There's within my heart a whisper sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled.
Two great songs about God's peace and love as we walk with Him. As the praise team comes forward, we'll sing two songs that I think you're familiar with. Who Can Satisfy My Soul Like You? And then Waymaker we'll sing after that. So if you could join in with us and stand, please. We'll sing the first song. Join in with us.
Who can satisfy my soul? Could comfort me and love me like you do. Who could ever be more faithful, true? I will trust in you. trust in you, my God. There is a fountain who is a king, victorious warrior and Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. There is a fountain who is a king, victorious warrior and Lord.
Take a seat. Please make sure you join in with us. Very popular song right now. Wait. That's not me. We're struggling this morning, okay?
You are here. working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, you are here, turning lives around, I worship you, you are here, mending every heart, I worship you. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise Christ keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who
you are. All those things and so much more. No one has proven to be more faithful, God, I pray, more loving, more kind and compassionate than you. We pray as we lifted your song, your name up in song this morning, that you were glorified. I pray that the praise was given to you and you only. God, help us to remember that you can be trusted and you are faithful. God, you are the source of peace and joy in our life, and we thank you for that. Help us to remember that you are where the joy is. God, I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team and congregation, for your singing today. I appreciate our worship team. They do have a commitment to what we do here on Sundays. They meet every Tuesday night. They rehearse. The guys in the sound booth, you know, that's part of it. Everything you see on the screen, you know, I give that my stuff to Jeff, and then he has to put that in. So there's a lot that goes into that, and I really appreciate their commitment to what we're trying to do here on Sunday mornings. We're going to continue the series that I started last week on worry less and live more. And that's found in Philippians 4. I spoke last week about prayer, the practice of prayer. And so today we're going to talk about the practice of thinking and action. Now, this is the go-to chapter. According to those who do research and polls, this is the go-to chapter, these verses that we're looking at, for worry and anxiety. This is where everybody goes. When they experience any kind of worry or anxiety, they go to this passage in the Bible. So it is an important scripture. The key takeaway that I want to leave with you today is that dealing with anxiety is a matter of proper praying, proper thinking, proper action, with the promise of peace, as the Bible tells us. So let's look at these verses, and then we'll get into this message this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. In these verses, what Paul does is to talk about the problem. Then he gives the prescription. Then he gives the program. And then he gives the promise. And so that's how we're going to be approaching this subject this morning. What Paul gives us here really is the answer to anxiety and worry. And that begins with a commitment to Jesus Christ. And with that being said, even though we make that commitment to Him, we still have that tendency to worry and to be anxious about things. If anybody had anything to worry about, it was Apostle Paul. When he wrote what we're reading here today, he wrote this from prison. And so Paul had a lot of concerns. The church here at Philippi, they had a lot of concerns. They were concerned about Paul's welfare. They were concerned about the survival of Christianity in Rome. And so they were just concerned about those things. So the point is this, that even though we have a commitment to Christ and even though we are believers, we still have a tendency and we're prone to worry and to be anxious about things. One of my favorite football coaches of all time, not my team, but my coach, was Tom Landry. And the thing that set him apart from every other coach was he could stand on the sideline with that hat that he wore and suit, tie, and just be in control. You know, he was very, very calm. But another thing that attracted me to Landry was this, that he was a dedicated Christian. He was a strong believer in Jesus Christ. And one of his books I read, I went back and I pulled this out of one of the books that I read about him. And this is part of his written testimony. And here's what he said. He said, most of the athletes who fail to become winners are those athletes whose fears and anxieties prevent them from reaching their potential. Vander goes on to say this. He said, I overcame my fears and anxieties by a commitment to something far greater than winning a football game, a commitment to Jesus Christ. And I really like that. So what I want to begin with today is talking about the problem. That's where Paul begins here. He talks about the problem. And the problem is worry. And so what worry means, though, in the Bible word for worry, means to be divided, have a divided mind. We have a division between legitimate thoughts and between destructive thoughts in our minds. And that's what worry does. It divides us. It gets us, you know, thinking about, the wrong ideas and the wrong direction or the wrong way. When God wants us to think about, you know, the things that we're going to talk about here today. So when worry takes over our lives, though, what it does, it chokes out the Word of God in our life. And it really takes over. And that's not what we need to happen. We need to do as 1 Peter 5:7 says, you know, cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. And we know that, and we know that verse. But see, when worry sets in, it divides us. We don't think about casting, you know, our concerns on the Lord. We think about all the problems and troubles and worries. So that's the problem. Now, they've done a lot of studies about worry, and particularly during this time of COVID-19. So here's the recent study. 40% of the things that people worry about, they tell us never happened. 30% of the worries are related to past matters that are now beyond our control. In other words, it's something that even if we worry about it, we can't change it anyway. 12% have to do with anxiety about health, and even though, you know, that could be imagined or there's no health concern, we still worry about it. And then 10% worry about friends, neighbors, and in most cases, there's really no reason to have anxiety about those things. So where are you there? You're at 92% of things that we worry about. We can't do anything about anyway. Or they're not really a legitimate concern. So that leaves 8% of the things we worry about, you know, maybe a legitimate concern or whatever. But the point is this, that's the problem. The problem is worry, and that's what Paul tells us. He says, be anxious for nothing. And the reason he said that is because we get anxious and we worry. So then he gives us a prescription, and the prescription for worry and anxiety is prayer. We're to pray about everything. We're to pray when times are uneasy and uncertain. Now, prayer doesn't mean that we're going to get everything we pray for in the way that we pray for it, in the way that we think we are. Prayer doesn't mean that the circumstances will change. Doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that when we pray that everything's going to be straightened out. I'm amazed at what I'm hearing about how many people really are walking away from faith and the Lord because they feel like, and what they base it on is this, well, I tried God and it didn't work. Or I prayed this prayer, God didn't answer my prayer, or God didn't do this, or God didn't do that. Now, I'm just amazed at the statistics that I'm hearing about people who are walking away from God and faith because of that. Well, you see, folks, here's what we need to understand. God does hear our prayer. God works in our prayer. It doesn't mean that the situation or circumstances will change, and that's what Paul is saying. He said, we pray about it. We take our concerns to the Lord. He said, let your request be made known to God. God will answer the prayer in His way, in His time, and His purpose. So what's the value of prayer? The circumstances may not change. If the situation may not change, why pray? What's the value in it? Because prayer changes me. Prayer changes us. May not change the circumstance, but it changes us. I've been reading a book by Gordon MacDonald, and he's become really one of my favorite authors. And in this book, Gordon MacDonald titled this book, Mid-Course Correction. One of my favorite movies is Apollo 13, and you know the movie and you know the history of that. But to get back to Earth without the capsule burning up, then what the astronauts had to do was to make a mid-course correction so that they could land safely in the ocean. And so he based that analogy of that mid-course correction, that book, on this. And then he goes into the life of Abraham, and here's how he ties it all together. That the mid-course corrections in our life that we all need comes that place and time when we realize that prayer is changing us. The situation may not change, the circumstance may not change, but what's going on is God is making the change in us, and there is a hidden purpose that God is working that we may not know, or we may know eventually. And He uses Abraham to talk about that. And how many examples do we see in the life of Abraham where, you know, Abraham had to walk by faith and believe God and trust God? He didn't know the purpose of God. The purpose of God in a lot of his situations was hidden, but eventually it became clear to him. And so we need to understand, in answer to prayer, there is a hidden purpose. That God is working in things that we may not understand. But we worry, we have anxiety, we have concerns about things, and some of those are legitimate. But what Paul says is we pray. And again, the significance of that is what prayer is doing in us to change us. Prayer is talking to God about concerns, and so that's the first step to really victory over worry. Think about it this way. And here's the third part that I'm going to talk about now. And that is the program. I want you to think about the right thinking. The right thinking and right action. And that's seen in verse 8 and 9. So Paul gives us a list of guidelines here about the things that we should think about. Now here's why this is important. Think, feel, and act. Those are three important words that we're going to be talking about here. Think, feel, and act. The way I think determines how I feel, and how I feel determines how I act. And that's what Paul is going to get into in these scriptures here. And so we need to think about, you know, what we're going to do here. So in all the 32 words in these verses here that we're looking at, it, the key word here is think. That's the action word in what he's talking about. So to avoid anxiety and worry, I've got to have the proper thoughts and think about the right thing. If I want God to make the change in my life, and if I want the change in my life that I want, then I'm going to have to start thinking in a different way. And see, the Bible word for that is repentance. It's to rethink about where I am. It's to think about that mid-course correction I need to make in my life. If worry and anxiety and all this has gotten me down and depressed and all down in the dumps, then, you know, what am I going to do to change it? If it's caused me to doubt in the promises of God, then what do I need to do? If it's caused me to have that temptation to walk away from God because the prayer wasn't answered, you know, what do we need to do? We need to change about the way we're thinking about this. And so that's what Paul deals with. Isaiah 30:15, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Paul said, take time to meditate. Take time to think about what you're thinking about, how you're thinking, and the things that you're thinking on. Psalm 42:6. My heart is breaking, so I turn my thoughts to God. Now think about that. Where do we go with our thoughts? To God, when our heart's broken. Jonah 2:7 is a verse that I love. When I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. Jonah 2:7. When I thought all hope was gone, then I turned my thoughts again to the Lord. And that's where Paul is directing us here. E. Stanley Jones was a missionary for over 40 years in India. In one of his books, he was talking about where he came to the end of his resources. He came to the end of his strength. And he was just about ready to give up. Because it was hard. And it's tough. He was in a place where there was a lot of hostility against him. It caused a lot of anxiety because of all the pressure and the danger and everything. And what he was doing. But he was praying. And he said one night in his book, here's what he said. He said, one night when I was praying, he said, I felt the Lord speaking to me. And he does. When we pray, God will speak to us. But Stanley Jones says this, I heard the Lord speaking to me, and here's what the Lord told me. He said, if you turn it over to me and not worry about it, I will take care of it. And you see the Lord saying the same thing to us. Just turn it over to me. Don't worry about it. And I will take care of it. Paul gives us 6 guidelines here for proper meditation and thinking. He says, whatever things are true, and that's truth about God. Guideline 2, whatever things are noble, that's respect for God. Whatever things are just, God's standard of justice. Whatever things are pure, fill your mind with pure things, pure thoughts, to combat the uncleanness of the influences of our culture. We need to have clean thoughts. Guideline 5, whatever things are lovely, things that are pleasing and orderly. In other words, that's the opposite of chaos, turmoil, things that are out of order. And that's what Satan wants to create and how we think and you know, do things. You know, the greatest asset that God has given us and the greatest gift he's given us is our mind. I was reading a verse in Psalm. And it really struck me to what the verse says. And here's what the verse in Psalm said. It said, God is always thinking about you. And the psalmist said, every morning I get up, God is there and God is thinking about me. He said, if I could count that and all the thoughts that God had for me, it would be more than the sand on the seashore. But see, here's the problem. We don't always think about God. Well, what Paul's saying here is that we do. We need to think about Him. Think on these things. Let these things be the guideline. And then he says, whatever things are good report, of good report. That's the sixth guideline. Think about those things is what he's thinking about. So right thinking is a result of daily meditation in His Word, praying. So Paul says that's how we get there. And that's what we need to do. Isaiah 26:3, here's what the Scripture says. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now we know where the battle is. The battle is that unseen battle that we all have. It's that battle with the old serpent, Satan, because he wants to get us all messed up in our thinking. And when he can get us all messed up in our thinking, then he gets us messed up in how we feel, and then he gets us messed up in how we act. Heard an illustration this week from National Geographic talking about that old serpent, Satan. This woman had a pet boa constrictor, snake. She had this pet boa. And the boa got to where it wouldn't eat. By the way, the boa's name was Betsy. So she took Betsy to the vet. Said, won't eat. And so the vet said, well, now where does Betsy sleep? Well, she sleeps in the bedroom. Well, does she sleep in the cage? She says, no, I take Betsy out of the cage. And I put Betsy in bed with me. Now think about that. Sleeping with a snake in bed. And the vet said, well, what does Betsy do? Does she curl or does she lay straight? She says, no, she lays straight. The vet says, here's what you need to know about that boa. That when a boa thinks that he has a meal, he quits eating. And that boa starts stretching himself out so he can eat the object that he thinks that's going to be his meal. In other words, you're going to be the meal of Betsy if you don't get Betsy out of your bed. But you think about that, and you think about that old serpent, Satan. You think about his deceit, his trickery. You think about his lies that he puts in our minds, you know, about God. And folks, it's real. But that's where the battle is. That's why Paul in Romans 12 says that, you know, that we've got to have a changed mind. Our mind has to be transformed in thinking of the way of Christ. And that's what Paul's saying here. He said, think on these things. And then what it does, it leads to right action. Verse 9, look at it here. Paul said, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know what that is? That's a practice of discipleship. Received what you've received of me. See, that's life-changing writings. That's what we're reading today. We're reading the life-changing of writings that we received from Paul. This book that we're reading today from Philippians, that's what we received. That's what they received. Then Paul spoke of what you heard. That's his sermons, life-changing sermons, conversations, teachings. And then he said the life-changing example, what you saw in me, what you've seen in me. So that's action. That's discipleship. That's following the example that we see in the Bible, following the example of Christ, following the example of Paul, following the example of these Bible characters that we know, of Christians that we know. That is discipleship. And he says we are to follow this. And that's the right kind of action that they were to put into practice. But see, the way you get there, it starts here. It starts with how you feel. And then it results in the right kind of action. So that's what Paul's saying. And that's what he's getting at here. So if we do that, and see, here's what Paul's saying. If you want to worry less and live more, you got to pray right, you got to think right, and you got to live right. That's what he's saying. So what's the result of that? Well, the promise is peace. So that's what we'll talk about now. Right praying, right thinking, right living, the result of that is peace. He said in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. If you look at verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, when it comes to worry and anxiety, there's a physical part of it, but there's also an emotional part of it. And so what he's going to do, he's going to guard our minds with truth, and guard our emotions with trust. So truth and trust. The truth of God's word. The truth of his promises. Our trust in him. Our faith in him. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. And then in verse 9, why? Because the God of peace is with you. The only thing better than the peace of God is the God of peace being with us. And what he says here in verse 5, he says, the Lord is at hand. That means the Lord is near. The God of peace is with you, is what he's saying. God is at hand. In Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with strength. And oh, how we need his strength. And every day that's what we pray for. Lord, give us strength for the day and help us. And see, that's the promise. And that brings peace to our life. You see, strength and peace go hand in hand. They really do. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I was reading this week, and this thought came to me as I was reading Timothy about the peace of God. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. There's going to be things that causes worry, anxiety, and concern. I mean, that's the world we live in. Paul tells us in Timothy this, though. He says this. The closer we get to the second coming, it's going to increase. The trouble's going to increase. Problems are going to increase. He said, people are going to deny God, love pleasure more than God, love money more than God, love materialism more than God. They're going to walk away from the Bible, the truth of the Bible, to their own desire. And he says, the trouble and problem, the persecution against Christians will become greater and greater and greater. Why? because we don't think like the world. If you really want to know how to deal with all the craziness in life, here's what it comes down to. Having an eternal perspective. All this here is just temporary. It is. It's just temporary. We're going through tough times right now. We are. But what keeps me focused is to think about, well, this is temporary. It's not eternal. And to keep my focus on Him. And folks, I tell you, that brings a lot of peace to your heart. It really does. And that's what Paul's saying here. What we think determines how we feel and how we act. So proper praying, proper thinking, proper behaving, and the result of that is peace. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we just thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for this time of worship today. Father, today we know the problem is worry. We also know that the prescription is prayer. And we also know that we're to give our mind to You, our thoughts to You. That's the program to think about these things, these guidelines that You've given us. Lord, today, if we do that, then the promise is peace. During our prayer today, what I want you to pray is this: give the Lord complete control of your life today. To say, Lord, I want You to control my thoughts. I want You to control my behavior. Today as we pray, we just need to turn everything over to Him and say, Lord, here it is. Here's my anxiety. Here's my worry. Here's my problems. And trust Him. We need to understand that there's a hidden purpose. There's a hidden purpose in all that we're going through today. There is. There's a hidden purpose in it. And Lord, we trust You with it. Just say today, Lord, I know that You love me and I know that You care for me. And I thank You that Your thoughts are toward me every day. And even when I'm not thinking about You, Lord, You're thinking about me. And I thank You for that. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, do that today. Just say, Lord, come in my heart, be my Savior. I want to receive You as Lord and Savior today. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Come just as You are. Hear the Spirit call. Just as You are, come and see, come receive, come and live forever. Come just as You are, hear the Spirit call. Just as You are, come receive Christ the King, come and live forevermore.
Take this time just to work. This is so. Worship team, just take your place. But I want to take this time just a minute to talk to you. We're not going to be able to start Sunday school and Wednesday night in November. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We said that we'd evaluate it and look at it, look at all the numbers and everything that's going on. So we just can't do that now. And God only knows when we're going to be able to start back and go back over there and do Sunday school, do Wednesday night. But right now, the safest thing that we can do is just stay here in what we're doing. What we're doing is working. And, you know, you feel safe here in this building. And so we're going to keep doing that for a while. And then eventually we can get back. But we just can't do that right now, okay? So that's where we are. Appreciate your attendance today. If you have an offering you'd like to give, the offering plates are at the door. So God bless you and go in God's peace this week. And I always pray that God keeps us safe, God keeps us healthy as we gather together. Okay? Okay. Well, we'll be dismissed now with our worship song.
Since we're talking about worrying less, we had some problems with the CD this morning, so we're afraid it would mess up during the chorus, so we're just going to sing Because He Lives. That's why the praise team's not up here. So close our service with the chorus of Because He Lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Thank you. You're dismissed.